I've had some members of Congress come up to me upset about my legislation and say, what, you don't trust me? And I said, it's not about any individual person, right? It's not up to me to like know and trust, you know, every single person that's in Congress. It's also the American people. The American people don't have a chance to meet every single member of Congress and others and determine their trustworthiness.
Welcome to How to Fix It. I'm John Avlon. And you know the drill. The purpose of this podcast is to focus on finding solutions to the problems we face, not just endlessly fixating on the problems themselves. Joining us this week, Senator Andy Kim from the great neighboring state of New Jersey. He has made combating corruption a core part of his duties. And damn, we need that combating corruption right about now. Senator, good to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So this week, and I just wrote a piece for Rolling Stone, looking at just 48 hours in the life of the Trump presidency and the life of our country, where this sort of avalanche of corruption came down. We found out that Donald Trump's stock portfolio had made over 3,600 trades in the first quarter of the year alone. That's almost 60 a day, for those of you keeping score at home. It's completely insane, and it involves companies the U.S. government is invested in or companies that his political decisions have had an impact on. Now, this is an 80% issue, but we've never confronted this kind of naked monetizing the presidency. I understand you've got legislation that you'd put forward to stop this insanity. Explain.
Yeah, that's right, because, you know, you're, as you said, you know, over 80% of Americans believe that their elected officials are engaged in some type of corruption, and over 80% want to see bans on stock trading, in not just in Congress, but across the government. So I introduced legislation. It's currently the only legislation that would ban the president, the vice president, members of Congress, and also the Supreme Court justices, also the cabinet. It would have a single standard across all three branches of government saying that they cannot engage in stock trading. This is to prevent the insider trading that we know is happening. We've seen it in the past cases, as well as just the blatant corruption that we're seeing with Donald Trump right now. I mean, this is someone who just went to China. He brought 17 CEOs with him. 15 of those companies had CEOs with him. He is invested in their companies. He has stock in those companies. You know, we have seen him take on Palantir stock just weeks before he personally promoted that stock by ticker name on Truth Social. You know, we have seen him invest in stocks in a company on the day that he was visiting that company's facilities. I mean, this is just so blatant. And that is why, you know, we need to make sure we're shining light. I think there's been a good momentum over the last few years in banning members of Congress from trading stocks. And that's getting bipartisan support. I helped pass one of those pieces of legislation out of committee with bipartisan support. But what we saw with Donald Trump is the total amount that he traded over the last quarter, upwards of $700 million. That's about the same amount of the totality of what was traded by members of Congress last year. You know, so we're really showing the magnitude of what President Trump is doing right now.
So just, you know, let's just reality check that, right? Donald Trump is trading the dollar amount, $700 million. For those of you having trouble living on a financial edge right now, having trouble making mortgage payments, house payments, rental payments, grocery payments, the President of the United States has got $700 million in stock trades. That's more than all of Congress combined?
Yeah, pretty much. It's about the same as the entirety of the monetary amount that Congress members traded in the entirety of 2025. And that's just what Trump did in Q1 of this year. And when you look at it, I mean, he, you know, Trump bought NVIDIA stock a week before the Commerce Department announced that they were going to allow for some of the NVIDIA's chips to be sold to China. I mean, like, again, like the timing of this is just so blatant in terms of the insider trading, but also just in terms of him being able to profit off of his own actions, the things that he's doing. And his, as I said, he literally had Palantir's ticker name in one of his Truth Socials. Like, that's not something that you just know off the top of your head. There is clearly an effort to boost that stock, not just to raise attention to that company. And so the way I frame it is, if you have a job whose job description is in the Constitution of the United States, whether that means you're a president or a vice president, a member of Congress, a Supreme Court justice, cabinet officials, senior officials across these three branches, you should be held to the highest of standards. And there should be no doubt about whether or not you are taking action that is going to benefit the country or benefit your own bank account and stock portfolio. You know, that's what is causing so much distrust right now, is this sense of elected officials enriching themselves, looking out for themselves in that way. That's why my piece of legislation is called the Restoring Trust in Public Servants Act, because I do not think you can restore trust until you can get rid of these clear conflicts of interest that are right before us every single day. You know, no one's holding a gun to my head to do this job. We do it voluntarily. And if you care more about making money through the stock market rather than serving the people, then maybe you're in the wrong job.
Go be a day trader. Like, there are plenty of, like,
yeah, exactly.
Know, but the pace of this, the rapaciousness of it. Now, the Trump organization says Trump doesn't do any stock trading. But when you point out, things like, making decisions ahead of Commerce Department announcements about selling chips to China, when you talk about, use of ticker symbols from a Truth Social account, either those investor advisors are psychic, Or there's advanced knowledge at work.
And also right now, what I'll say is, like, with all this attention and Trump being asked about this directly, like, he certainly knows now what stocks he owns and is still doing business with these companies, still taking actions that can very well boost. That's the problem, is like, there are members of Congress that sit on armed services committees that are owning stock in Lockheed Martin and Boeing and things like that. Like, that's just wrong. Everyone knows it. The American people can totally understand that, but it's unfortunately something that's still allowed. And I really just think this is something that needs to continue to grow. I talked to you before about building an anti-corruption movement in this country. This is something tangible that the American people can completely understand. And I hope that we can use this to be able to push forward on this legislation. I'm willing to work with any of my colleagues, as we're getting momentum on the members of Congress ban on trading. I'm going to continue to push now to try to have all three branches of government a single standard of ethics across our government. I think it's easy for Americans to see.
It is. And look, this is an 80% issue, i.e. that, poll after poll shows that over 80% of Americans, that's a supermajority of Americans, agree that Congress shouldn't be trading stocks. Insider trading shouldn't be legal for members of Congress, but it should apply to the president, vice president, Supreme Court as well. And so you've got the vast majority of public opinion on your side. I've got two questions for you. First of all, I want to hear what the legislation looks like. Can members of Congress invest in an ETF, an index fund, or, does it have to be a blind trust, which is what Jimmy Carter did to his peanut farm, by the way, in 1976. Let's start there. What is the specifics of this legislation?
Yeah, so my legislation requires divestment into diversified mutual funds. And I think that that's something where, we can understand that, there's not going to be some single company that you own that you're going to be able to push forward. Personally, don't necessarily think the blind trust is enough. Especially because some of the proposals out there, they don't require divestment before it goes into a blind trust. So you kind of know what's in your blind trust when you move it on over. Plus, it's something that takes transparency away from the American people to understand, what you own. And so that's something where if it is revealed what's in your blind trust, then you know it too, and it's no longer blind. Right. So, like, we need to make sure that we have that sense of maximum transparency for the American people. Right now, like, I don't trade any individual stocks. Any investment I have, whether my 401 or anything else, is in diversified mutual funds. And that's all, upfront for everyone to see what my family's invested in. That should be the case for everybody. So that's the approach. And I just think that keeps things simple. Because, we've certainly, again, seen all sorts of issues where, who's running someone's blind trust? Is it a family member? Is it a friend? Is it, any number of other circumstances where I don't necessarily feel comfortable in that type of arrangement. And again, if, making, the amount that you can off of an index fund, a diversified mutual fund, if that's enough for you you know, especially for some of the wealthiest members of Congress, if that's not enough for you, then again, this is probably not the right job for you. And we should be able to find 535 people in this country. You know, this is a country of 350 million people. All we need are 435 in the House, 100 in the Senate, and, you know, president, vice president, some more with Supreme Court justices. You know, we're looking at around like several hundred people in this country that are willing to not profit off of individual stocks to be able to serve our country. Surely we can find that in a country of 350 million
people. Of course you can. And again, this is a supermajority issue. As a member of Congress, I mean, how bad is it with regards to effectively making it legal to have insider trading? I mean, is this something that members talk about? Do they exchange tips based on their, you know, their various committees? I mean, give me some granular detail about what you've seen behind the scenes, because effectively, if not literally, insider trading is legal only for those folks who have a constitutionally defined job.
Yeah. Look, I mean, with, for instance, the National Defense Authorization Act or different legislation that we have before us, you know, we hear about information. We hear about likely Defense Department contracts to different companies. Who's going to win this contract for this weapon system or this platform? You know, we hear information about, you know, what legal action might be bubbling up for against this company or that company during the pandemic. And other times, you know, we get a sense of what companies leading the charge on innovations or vaccines or other things that might come forward. I hear about what companies might get FDA approvals for different drugs and different actions that can move forward. This is all information that would, in the wrong hands, be very much weaponized to be able to make a lot of money. And, you know, this is something where, you know, I don't know exactly what my colleagues are doing with it. And I've had some members of Congress come up to me upset about my legislation and say, what, you don't trust me? And I said, it's not about any individual person, right? It's not up to me to like know and trust, you know, every single person that's in Congress. It's also the American people. The American people don't have a chance to meet every single member of Congress and others and determine their trustworthiness.
Any other American would go to jail, Senator.
And when you have, like, when you look at other industries, I mean, you have, like, literally, like, law firm associates that aren't able to trade stocks or get investments in certain things because of conflicts of interest. Surely, you know, again, people whose job descriptions are in the Constitution should be able to be held to higher standards than law firm associates or others that are told in their industries that that they're not allowed to make those types of trades. So that just, you know, it's common sense and it bothers me. And, you know, they make all sorts of, you know, I heard Speaker Johnson make arguments, oh, well, you know, we're not earning enough money and that's why we need to allow these types of side hustles. And I just think that that's absolutely bogus, especially at a time when so many Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. It just kind of shows, again, the sense that the rules don't apply to us. It just furthers that feeling like, you know, that politics is just some exclusive club for the well-off and the well-connected.
That's right. And again, this is an 80% issue and you should be able to pass this. Do you think this legislation will pass? And if not, given that it's bipartisan, where are the roadblocks? Is it Speaker Johnson? Is it Trump and his sort of, you know, his weak toughs trying to, you know, say that he'll veto this? Where does the legislation stand? Why didn't it pass yesterday?
Yeah, so it should have passed a long time ago. And I think that there is momentum towards banning members of Congress from trading stocks. And that's a sea change from when a few of us started down this path back in, you know, 2019, when a number of us were elected into Congress, many of us elected because of our anti-corruption platform. Even the president in his State of the Union talked about banning members of Congress from trading stocks. Not for him. So that's the problem, right? Is like, you know, like, sure, we may very well end up getting some more momentum on banning members of Congress. But I worry that if we just do it for Congress, then people are going to be like, oh, well, we did our part. We don't need to do anything else. And that's why, you know, I feel very strongly right now that with this light shined on what President Trump did, we heard about Hegseth and others, you know, and some potential actions that they've taken. This is the absolute right time for us to be able to move forward and say, you know what, we need something across all three branches. And again, this is something that I introduced even before Trump came back into office. I was not targeting him specifically. I'm not targeting any specific member of Congress or Supreme Court justice. This is just something that I think is the right thing to do. And I hope the American people agree on that. And I hope that they boost up and support my Restoring Trust in Public Servants Act and this concept of a single standard across all three branches.
So look, they do. Before we move on to the, I mean, again, 80% issue, before we move on to the other slush fund he's just created to reward, you know, hyper partisans on his side, I just want to confirm something. Everybody understands that stocks can be traded, with insider trading in Congress. When it applies to the president or the defense secretary, as you just mentioned, is it basically known, if not considered historically good form, that you can profit off the office through trades that involve companies that you have, you know, made decisions or steered contracts to? Or is that insider trading? I can't imagine it's covered even by the immunity decision of the Supreme Court because it's got nothing to do with the actual job.
Yeah, well, I think the challenge is constantly just the sense of, you know, did they know about this or, you know, that was this something that, you know, they were intending for it to happen? There are lots of different ways for a president and others to be able to get out of that type of situation. And we see certainly right now, as, you know, we're going to talk about the slush fund, when the president and the executive branch control the levers of justice as the president is wielding right now, you know, has the ability to be able to stop any of those types of investigations.
Only while they're in power.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Which is why, you know, we need to make sure we're setting very clear intentions in law, codifying in law about what is and is not able to be done and not allow this to be just something that they can do and then find a way to weasel out of it later on.
Weasel is the operative word. Also, I like that verb. All right, let's talk about the slush fund. Part of the strategy is to be so blatant about the corruption that we all get numb to it. And, you know, all of a sudden, George Washington, you know, the Oval Office starts looking like, you know, Banana Republic. I mean, these are sort of Mobutu standards, not Waring Harding standards, as David Frum recently pointed out. Trump sues the IRS for $10 billion, a buffoonish sum. A judge thought it was a scam, sidelined it. Then his own Justice Department, the acting attorney general, always trying to curry favor with the president, says, I love you, Mr. President, right? You know, just in case there was any doubt. His own former personal lawyer settles the bogus case for a symbolic $1.776 billion, right? Set aside for basically what they say are victims of persecution by the Justice Department. Let's put aside the fact that Reuters has demonstrated there are 475 individuals and organizations that have been targeted by this Justice Department, president's enemies. This money is set aside to go to January Sixers. It is going to his hyperpartisan political allies. There's no way this is legal, ethical, but everyone seems flat-footed because this was just such an obvious guardrail. It didn't need to be specified. Democrats are talking about stepping up and making sure this cannot go forward. What's your plan to stop this slush fund, this plundering of taxpayer dollars to be redirected to people who attacked the capital of the United States?
So as you said, you know, this was something with a symbolic, you know, $1.776 billion. First of all, just shame on the president for trying to invoke the founding fathers with this, with 1776. This is exactly what our founding fathers stood up against. They actually stood up against a singular person that thought themselves above the law, that could take action without courts to sideline legislature and to reward their loyalists. And for him to use and invoke our founding fathers in this way for something that is so blatantly corruption, like, this is exactly the taxation without representation. He is literally taking $1.8 billion out of the American people and saying that their representatives in Congress have no say about this. So, you know, that just shows, you know, just how blatantly wrong this is. When we're looking at how to be able to stop this, yes, right now we're engaged with some of our Republicans that are, some of them, squeamish about it. Many of them will still fall in line with this president, but we're trying to see if there are things that we can be pushing through this reconciliation process or some other means to be able to stop this. When we go down into the actions of how this operates, yes, it was tagged as $1.776 billion, but the language very much says that there will be as much funds as needed to pay out the different claims that are there. The fact that there is no technical limit on this may actually give us an opportunity to be able to intervene on this.
In what way?
Insofar as, again, since this is not something that has a limitation in how it's been framed in terms of the total amount of money that's in it, they put a guide for it for 1.776, but beyond that, the language says as much money as needed to be able to pay out. There might be opportunities we're exploring in which we can put guardrails on it. For instance, be able to say that no person that has been pardoned by the president is able to be able to utilize this, or other types of things that can really try to reduce the effectiveness of something like this in the way that the president has engaged. We're looking at other things right now.
Yes. What else? Because that sounds like you guys are looking for failures in the drafting as opposed to saying the fundamental premise is illegal.
Well, as I said, what we're trying to do with our Republican colleagues is about the fundamental premise is illegal, both looking at legislative action to be able to do this. There is legislation that is being drafted right now in the House that by Congressman Raskin and others. There is also a legal suit being filed by Capitol Police officers against this premise. So we are still going after that fundamental premise, as well as looking at technical aspects to be able to do. The challenge is when we're looking at some type of legislation that is getting passed, it goes back to what we said earlier, which is that the president would have to sign off on this after it passes, even after it passes Congress. So this president has an ability to be able to engage, which is why we're trying to look at legal remedies and other actions.
You don't think you could hit a veto-proof majority for something this blatant?
I wish I could look you in the eye right now and say that I think that that is possible. And we should certainly push for it, and the American people should demand it. But what we have seen so far, whether it's about this ballroom or whether it's about this illegal war that we're seeing that's costing the American people tens of billions of dollars or others, we're continuing to see Republicans in Congress standing by this president. I often say, we do not have three functioning branches of government right now. We have one branch of government that is just dead set on trying to dominate the other two. If you're asking me if I have any confidence that Speaker Johnson will grow a spine and stand up to the president right now, my answer is no.
No, GIMP Speaker Johnson has not shown any impulse to be independent. Let's just talk about, though, the codicil to this in the minutes we have left, which is that the IRS comes out with sort of rules, basically under Todd Blanche's signature that say the Trump family and Trump organizations will basically never, ever, ever, in their words and expectations, forever and in perpetuity, I think is the language they use, be immune from any investigation into whether they've paid their taxes. There's no precedent for this. There's no precedent for any of this. But what is the way to combat this? I can't imagine it'll hold up in court down the line. But this is basically a president trying to get a get out of jail free card for himself and his family and his business interests in perpetuity. It's utterly un-American. It's utterly insane.
Yeah, I mean, this is all part of that extortion policy, these mob boss tactics that this president is using. But it's not even fair to call it mob boss because he also has the pardon power. He has these types of tools that he's been utilizing, and you see how it affects the entire ecosystem of the administration when Corey Lewandowski is saying that he can do whatever he wants because he expects to get pardoned later on, as do I'm sure many, many others. When it comes to that particular document, and again, everyone that I've talked to doesn't think that that'll hold up in court down the road. But again, it's really setting up, just the intentions of this administration, which is that they want to shield this president and those most loyal to this president, not just for the next 2.5 years, but for the rest of their lives. And they will try to find every and all tactic, including, the American people need to be expecting that the president will try to pardon himself, his family, and many, if not most, of his top advisors, if not others, on top of that. In the same way that he had the audacity to do it on day one for the January 6th rioters, something that really just set the tone and really, when we look back on it, it makes so much sense given what we've seen from this administration ever since. So that is what they're trying to do. And this is that shot across the bow saying, we are now going to be taking actions that are about perpetuity, in perpetuity, that the president will be shielded from anything ever again. And we know this president will do everything he can to be able to continue to exert power over the Republican Party, even if he's not in the Oval Office, to be able to ensure, you know, him and his influence and his family's safety in that way.
All right, we've got just a few minutes left, but because you're focusing so much on combating corruption and because you've got credibility in standing up to corruption and even in your own party in New Jersey, I want to ask you this. If the president follows through on the expectation that everybody gets a pardon, this has been an illegal enterprise from the beginning with the understanding that everybody gets a pardon. It doesn't mean that laws cease to exist, especially on the state level. Mm-hmm. How do you think, what ways are you looking at ensuring there is accountability for breaking the law, even at the behest of a president, perhaps especially at the behest of a president?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Like right now, what we're hoping is that we will, that the American people see this blatant lawlessness and that we will be in a position come November to be able to retake the House and the Senate after the midterm elections. We are already devising up lists as well as the understanding of what are the investigations that need to be done. You know, what is it that we can be doing with subpoena power? What documents, what people do we want to come before Congress, and the prioritization of that? Because that's going to be so important as we are both being able to bring into light the documents that are going to be necessary to be able to show the paper trail of the crimes that are being committed now and be able to set the stage for accountability on as many different platforms as we can moving forward, full well understanding that Trump can and likely will use, you know, all the powers to in his disposal to try to shield him and his loyalists. But we need to make sure that we are trying to get ahead of that, being able to secure documents, be able to bring to light so that this is not something where the Trump administration just gets rid of any and all this evidence before they turn the lights out in 2029. This is something that we need to make sure we're thinking of strategically and mobilizing power behind that and using our ability to shine a light through committee hearings, as well as bringing up that reservoir of evidence and documentation. So that's something that we're working on now.
Good. That's good to hear, because it's one thing to say we've learned we got to rebuild the guardrails. We need to make those democratic norms we depended on actually enforced, but it requires accountability down the line and not just getting suckered into some idea. Well, that was a weird chapter. Let's move forward. Laws don't mean anything unless they're enforced. So that's a responsibility. And I'm glad you're thinking about it and taking the lead on combating corruption. Senator Andy Kim from New Jersey, thanks for joining us again on How to Fix It.
Anytime. Thanks so much.
Take care.